Good morning. It's my privilege to welcome you and greet you. All those who've come to rejoice together, that we might find reasons to magnify our calling that God has given us and somehow present His name and proclaim His fame to all who would care to share with us. We do all those things when we come to worship together. And it's good to be with you. It's good to have the choir behind us. They bring strength to our worship that we know is there always, but we really miss it when they're not there. And we know that it takes lots of effort and dedication to make the best presentation we can to please God for all that He has done for us. We've already had the call to worship, We've already had a call to worship, haven't we, through the choir. It's easy for me to pick a scripture to read. Every word that God has spoken or His Son has spoken is really a call to worship, for it prompts within, it prompts us to and moves within us to become stronger in our knowledge of Him and our faithfulness in wanting to keep His word and praise His name and promote His glory. And that's what we do. I've selected one here to read in our book of Latter-day Scriptures. Very short, but I think very, very appropriate. In section 98. And now I give unto you a word concerning Zion. Zion shall be redeemed, although she is chastened for a little season. Therefore, let your hearts be comforted, for all things shall work together for good to them that walk uprightly and to the sanctification of the church. For I will raise up unto myself a pure people that will serve me in righteousness, and all that call on the name of the Lord and keep His commandments shall be saved. A decree of God to His people in this last dispensation of time. It brings us an assurance in the strength of His words. May we share together now as we continue in worship. We've had one change in the program. Brother Brad Hampton was called to duty somewhere else, and we have a very able replacement here, Elder Joe Williams, to bring the invocation. So let's share together now in the spirit of goodness and righteousness. Thank you.
God, the Eternal Father, Lord, we continue in lifting our voice in praise to thy holy name and in thanksgiving, Father, for the beauty of this spring day that you have blessed us with, for the beauty of the Sabbath day that we have and the opportunity we have to come to worship you. Lord, we pray collectively and ask that you would forgive us of our sins, cleanse our lives once again, help us that we may be ready to receive this day. And today we indeed invite thy Spirit to be here with us. I pray for my brother Brad as he has accepted a responsibility to speak elsewhere this day and ask that you would bless him. And I pray for my brother Justin as he makes preparation to stand and to speak in behalf of thee. Guide him by your Spirit and open his mouth that he may be able to proclaim those things, those truths of thy gospel. Give him clarity of thought, Father, and influence him by your good Spirit, that your people might receive a blessing this day. And this is our prayer, Father, as we beseech thee this morning. Bless your people and send us your Spirit, we ask, in all humility, in the sacred name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
You would say this is an opportunity for us to give back to the Lord that which He's given us. But this is only an opportunity for us to show a response of what we would do and how we act toward others and how we respond to the promptings and the desires that the Lord would have in our lives. The way we treat other people, the way we act, and the witnesses that we give to people in our everyday walks of life are more important than the amount of money that you put in the plate. So, as a reminder, to a response is how we respond to the Word of God. Would you bow with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for thy many blessings. We would ask that this money that is collected today would be used for thy purposes and to build thy kingdom. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
From Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this record. It is a joy to be here with you today, and I feel extremely privileged to be up front here with the choir and to witness what Kathleen has done for so many years with this group. And I recall, as my mom was diagnosed with cancer many years ago, that Kathleen and the choir came together, and I believe it was for more than just my mom, but they made a tape back when we had cassette tapes. They made a tape of hymns, and I know my mom listened to it many, many times. And I was even the beneficiary of that cassette because I took it and I listened to it in my vehicle. And so the ministry is far-reaching, and thank you, Kathleen. And I know that the choir will be in good hands, but definitely has been a joy to witness Kathleen's ministry with her and her family. And I apologized last hour. I will say thank you this hour for putting up with me one more hour. And today, as the men of the congregation, the priesthood know, when you're called upon to preach or to speak, the thought that goes through your mind is, Lord, what do they need to hear? What do you want me to share with them? And I looked at the schedule, and I noticed that we are honoring graduates today with a potluck. And I've warned several of them that I was going to be looking at them a lot today. And one of them's behind me, so I'll look at her now. Where's she at? And Brenda's already crying, so sorry about that. So I feel as though the Lord has instruction and counsel and encouragement for those of you who are going to be going on in life and how you face a new challenge. Ellie Williams behind me will be graduating high school next month. Madison Hart will be graduating high school, and they will both be going to college. And Megan Walker, who will be graduating college. And so I feel that the Lord's laid some things on my heart to share. And I see someone pointing, Casey Potts. So I feel that there are things that the Lord wants me to share. And so I will be looking at you guys quite a bit, not to embarrass you. And I believe that all of this counsel is pertinent to everyone here. I don't think it's limited by age or where you're at in life. And it can also be applicable to those of the younger generation, those who may be in grade school, aren't even thinking about these things in life. But there are things that the Lord wants you to know as you begin this new chapter of your life. And so the future staring you in the eyes, I don't know if you felt it. I felt it when I was in high school. All of a sudden, future was staring at you, asking, what are you going to do? I know my dad asked me that question, and I said, well, he said, are you going to college? I said, no. And he said, well, no more summer vacations. You're going to work. And I was okay with that because my study habits weren't such that would be conducive to a diploma in a higher education. And it's worked out okay. And I'm not going to speak against higher education at all. But it's important that we as the Lord's people ask Him what He wants us to do with our lives. And even for those who may be on in years, it's never too late. Every day is a new day. So with this comes new freedoms. Some of you are going to be moving out. New freedoms, new opportunities, new vision, a different way of looking at things, new challenges, and growth. So challenges are in the form of trials. And unfortunately, we need those to grow, don't we? To become better people, to become stronger, to become solidified, like the mighty oak tree that bends in the breeze and is strengthened over time. It bends, but it doesn't break. So you have decisions you've already made, maybe which college to go to, which job to take, the career path. And the thing is that neither one of you four know, and none of us know, where your path is going to go. The decisions you make today, none of us know where you're going to end up in life, right? Not even your parents, only God knows. And so that's an uncertainty that we face. And hopefully it doesn't scare you, but hopefully with the strength of the Lord, each one of you will go on and do what He wants you to do and not what you want to do. Because what He wants you to do will most definitely bring you the most happiness in life. So you have decisions. You're going to have trials. And the decisions, every decision you make will shape your life. It will determine who you're going to be in 10 years, and 15 years and 20 years. And then the trials that inevitably come upon each one of us. You will be tried. And your parents, as hard as they've tried, I know your parents, and I know that they have tried to raise you up in the pathway of righteousness, to teach you what's right and wrong, and to be a good person. So they've done their part. They've tried. And, you know, for those of us who are parents, we know when we fall short. And so I think of my children and I think, wow, I wish, you know, I missed a day yesterday. I could have been a better dad yesterday. But you got to look forward. Okay, parents, we try. So you've been given a foundation. And I want you to keep in focus the big picture here. Okay, this is much bigger than you and your lives. And fortunately, it encompasses the entire creation. And your creation, the scripture that I read, opened with, was from Jeremiah. And it talks about a purpose. It talks about God knowing the thoughts He has for you, for each one of us. From the very beginning, He had a plan for each one of us. And for those of you who are at a stage in life where you're getting ready to move on, it's almost an opportunity to start new. And you've plotted your course, you've set things in order. Two of you are going to college, and I don't know about Casey back there, but so you have plans. And so now, I'm sure you've considered prayerfully that which you're supposed to do with your life. If you have your scriptures, I welcome you to take them out and follow along. We're going to start in 3 Nephi, chapter 13. Verse 11, 3 Nephi, chapter 13, verse 11. And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, He said unto His disciples, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it, but wide is the gate, and broad the way which leads to death, and many there be that travel therein. Until the night cometh wherein no man can work. And so we see that there's a gate. And the waters of baptism were that gate. We've entered in. And it's a narrow path. But broad is the gate. So I would encourage you in life, as these decisions and these new horizons dawn upon you, that you would consult the Lord. Ask the Lord, what direction do you want me to go? Because it says, broad is the way that leads to death, and many there be that travel therein. And it says, then when the night comes, there's no work that can be performed. Some of us have walked away. Some of us have lived our own lives. And I did that. And fortunately, I came back before it was too late. You don't want to find yourself inside the wrong gate. When that day comes, whether whatever may come. So I would encourage you to make wise decisions and remember you've entered in at that straight gate. 2 Nephi, chapter 13. Verses 29 through 32. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye should press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way. And there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ and the only and true doctrine of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. Feast upon the words of Christ. After this service, we will be going in the back and we will be having a feast. There will be plenty of food. Nobody will probably walk away empty. Okay, everybody will be filled. We will feast. We will celebrate. We are to feast on the words of Christ. You need to feast on the words of Christ each and every day. You need to take them within your soul. You are what you eat. And the more you take in of the words of Christ, the more you'll become like Him. You press forward. It doesn't sound like it's going to be easy. There will be difficult times. But if you feast on the word of Christ, He will tell you all things that you should do. And the answers will come. Maybe not in the way you expect, maybe not in the time you want them. But rest assured, God's timing is perfect. Turning in Doctrine and Covenants, section 9. Three, A through D. Behold, you have not understood. Now, he's talking to Oliver Cowdery here, but this applies to all. You have supposed that I would give it unto you when you took no thought, save it was to ask. So, in other words, apparently, this gentleman, Oliver, he just asked, well, what do you want me to do, Lord? And the Lord's responding to him, but behold, I say unto you that you must study it out in your mind. See, the decision is not always going to be given to us. He will speak to your minds and give you the answers, but He wants you to study these things out. Study it out in your mind. It says you must. You have to think. You have to think. Then you must ask me if it be right. And if it is right, I will cause that your bosom shall burn within you. Now, if you've never experienced this, it feels like there's something inflating in your chest and it's burning. And hopefully many of you here have experienced that. But it's like a swelling. You feel something expanding inside of you. Okay? And that's one of the indications that it's right. Therefore, you shall feel that it is right. But if it not be right, you shall have no such feelings, but you shall have a stupor of thought that shall cause you to forget the thing which is wrong. So, okay, well, if you don't have the burning in the bosom, is it right? But you don't forget about it. I've had that happen many a times. Well, Lord, is that what you want me to do? Is this right? And I'll ponder it. And I don't get the burning in the bosom. I've only had it a handful of times. But you have to make decisions. You study it out in your mind. You study it out. You go to God's Word. And you seek counsel. Maybe from your parents. Maybe from somebody you respect. Somebody who you feel like will give you the right answer. Not somebody who you want to give you the answer you want. And ask and seek counsel. Study it out in your mind. Weigh it all out. Write it down. I've made lists of pros and cons. You know, what's the cons for this? What's the pros for this? If it feels right, it may not necessarily be a burning in a bosom, and this is for me, but I feel like it's still right. But if you forget about it, that is a sign that you should pass by. It's a wrong decision. Okay, so let's talk about the trials. The trials that every one of us will encounter and have encountered. And maybe you've already gone through some pretty hefty trials. But the Lord uses these, right, in our lives to mold us, to shape us, to heat us up, the refiner's fire. You know, He likens it to a silversmith who heats up the silver or the gold. And he has the dross. And the scum comes to the top, and then he scrapes it off. Well, I'm sure many of us can attest the scraping's not pleasant, but he's scraping that off. Why? So when he looks in that pot of gold or silver, he sees himself perfectly mirrored. He sees his own image there. There's nothing there to stain or to tarnish it. Okay, so these trials in our lives are necessary. It doesn't make it any easier. But with the peace of Christ, with the knowledge of Christ, it won't hurt as bad or for as long. And with that, pain brings understanding. And pretty soon you'll start to realize that when you're hurting the worst, that's probably when God's holding you the closest. From the book of James, the scripture that means so much to the restoration. Our young brother Joseph responded to this scripture. The first part of it reads, James 1, starting in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into many afflictions." Do you think Joseph read that part of the scripture? Because he sure did. Many, many afflictions. I read his accounts, the accounts of his family, and I wonder how that man did it. But we know how, with the strength of the Lord. It goes on, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." How many of you want patience right now? We all do. We don't want to go through the pain. For any of you that are in sports, you know what it's like. The pain, the toil, the you know, if you run basketball, a track. I remember being in basketball for one season. That was all it took for me. And we did these things called jolly jogs or gut busters or whatever. And you'd run to the quarter court line, half court line, and you'd have to go back and forth. And that was torment. But you know what? People do it willingly. They, you know, athletes subject themselves to that because they know what's standing on the other side of that practice and that effort is something great, and they want it. And that's what the Lord's saying here. So you've got to endure. "The trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." That's pretty interesting. "Lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the ocean, of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Once again, you're commanded, ask God for wisdom. Turning to Matthew chapter 5. Verses 12 through 15. "Blessed are they that are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Have you ever been laughed at, scorned, persecuted? Because you're a Christian, because you believe in God, you pray, you're weak. You're blessed. "And blessed are they when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For ye shall have great joy and be exceeding glad, for great shall be your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So this joy comes from this. When you're persecuted, when you're ridiculed for what you believe, don't ever walk away from what you believe, what you have within you, what you find here, what you find with the saints, what God has given you. That spirit that is within you. We talked about it in class this morning. That Holy Ghost is given to reside in you and to direct you in your pathway. It will give you the answers. It will guide you. The rest of the world does not have this gift. It only comes in and through the gift of authority and by the saving ordinances of this church. Don't take it for granted. In Romans 8:28, we read that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. All things. Whatever you suffer, whatever pains you have, it will all work out. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow. You may not understand it today or tomorrow or next year. But I guarantee you'll be stronger. In Ephesians 6:11, we read about the whole armor of God. And it talks about how we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and high places. the works of the flesh. You will find yourselves tempted with new things if you have not already. The world is waiting to devour, to destroy, to remove any image, any good, any hope, anything good that Christ and His Father has instilled in you. It's waiting. But you will overcome if you remain faithful and strong. Feast on the word of the Lord. Feast on His word. When you sit down to a meal, you don't just take one spoonful and then get up and say, "Oh, I'm done. That's all I've got time for. I don't have time to eat tomorrow, so I'll take two helpings today. I'll take two tablespoons today." And yet we find ourselves doing this. But we don't. We try to make an effort to feed ourselves physically. And we need to do that spiritually above all. So let's talk careers. Megan already has her career planned out, and these two young ladies, are probably already have their course planned out. And I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm about to tell you. I don't want anybody to get upset, but I do hope that you guys have considered the Lord in your decisions and understand that He's given you gifts and talents for who you are, for all the people you're going to come across in your life, the pathway He put you on. You've probably already met those people. You've been there, and you've been able to bring something to their life. The Lord has used you in some way. I'm going to turn to Lectures on Faith, Lecture 6. And this is from verse 4. "Such was, and always will be, the situation of the saints of God, that unless they have an actual knowledge that the course that they are pursuing is according to the will of God, they will grow weary in their minds and faint." So you guys need to seek an actual knowledge. Pray for a testimony of what you should do in life. Pray for that testimony if you don't already have one. Because if we find ourselves on the wrong pathway, we'll find it more difficult. The Lord will bless us and we will overcome. Many of us have found ourselves in the wrong path, right? And the Lord's brought us through. But you guys have an opportunity to not make the same mistakes some of us made. I attended a reunion years back, and I remember an older gentleman preaching, and I was at an age where I was just out of high school, and I was looking for a job. And he, from the pulpit, he said, "Any of you young people want a job?" He said, "Come up and see me after the sermon, and I'll tell you how to find one." And I'm like, "Great, I'm going to do that." So I went and found him, and went up to him, and I said, "So what's your advice?" And he said, "You find somebody you want to work for, and you offer to work for them for free." And so the way the Lord's worked in my life is I'm sitting at home, I think after this reunion, and looking through the newspaper, back when you'd look through the newspaper for, you know, classifieds for work, and we had had a chimney fire, and our chimney needed to be rebuilt. So this chimney company shows up at our doorstep, and they begin working on the chimney and tearing it down, and it was quite a long, extensive process. And I got to talking with one of the helpers and telling him, you know, he asked me what I did, and I said, "Well, I'm looking for a job." And so he tells his boss, and his boss finds me, and he's like, "I hear you're looking for a job." And I'm like thinking, "Yeah, but not doing this. This is hard." And so anyway, you know, I saw that there was an opportunity there that the Lord presented. So it came right to my doorstep, and it's not always going to work that way. And I was like, "Okay, well, I need to give it a try." He said, "I'd be willing to have you work for me. One of my laborers is going to be gone on Friday." And I said, "I tell you what," I said, "I'll work for you for free." And he said, "Nobody works for free." And I said, I'll work for you. I really did want to. I wanted to prove. And I believed what this man said. You know, that shows, I believe that that would show that man that I really wanted to work for him. And it would instill something in me. And I told him, and he refused. He said he was going to pay me, but I tried to get him not to. So I worked for him, and lo and behold, for the next 5 years, I found myself employed with him, and I learned a great many things. It was a great experience, and, you know, so the Lord presents these opportunities, and sometimes they come right to our door, sometimes they don't. Sometimes you got to get up and go find them. And it seems like each job I've had, I've never really had, and all the parents now at this point, they're going to be thinking, oh no, don't listen to this part. I never really had a path in life. And I remember there was a father of a certain young lady that I was seeing at the time that was concerned about me because I didn't have a job. And he was worried, concerned about my career path. And I respected that man because of that. Because it's true. I think of my daughter now. And I think of my daughter in particular. What kind of guy is going to come knocking on my door? And what's his life like? What kind of career path is he going to be on, right? And the man was right, but I never really sat down. I applied to 3 colleges. I was accepted to all 3, but I knew I could never make it in college. I knew I didn't have the fortitude to do what you college students have done, and that is to put in the hard work, the long hours, the study, and it wasn't for me. I was content to just go out into the workforce, and it's worked out, and I feel like that's where the Lord has wanted me. Now I find myself in a job where I've been trained on CNC equipment, which is a really good skill to have. And I didn't ever plan that out. I never planned that out. I never sat down and said, I want to be a CNC laser operator. I want to run a $1 million machine. I never said that. When I first walked into the place where I work, I thought, wow, that's pretty neat, but I never expected to be there. And the Lord put me in that position. They sent me off for training, and now it's become my career. So I'm here to tell you that just because you don't have a career path, it isn't necessarily a bad thing, because I turned out. But, you know, everybody needs to search that out. Everybody needs to pray about it. The Lord has a path for everyone. He has a pathway. He has a purpose. And His path He has for you will put you in the line to minister to people. It's not just about you going and earning a paycheck. It's good that you want to provide, but it's about the people you touch. The lives you minister to, in your example, not even in what you say, but how you act. Do people see you being polite to people all the time, picking up a piece of trash when you think nobody else is looking? You know, what kind of integrity that is? Okay? So I want to encourage you in your career that let the Lord direct you. And it was, when I look back on it, I'm more concerned now about where I was than I was at the time I was there, because I was young and I didn't get it quite yet. I felt like I was being kind of moved around by the sea, right? By the waves of the sea. Okay, so is the course you're pursuing according to the will of God? In Ecclesiastes, he writes, "What profit hath a man for all of his labors in the world?" Whatever you go out and earn, what is it going to profit you? If you spend all your hours working for a boat, for a house, for 2 houses, for a lake home, for all the nice things in life, the things the world tells you you have to have, what are you laboring for? Because you know when you pass away, you're not going to take it with you, right? We all understand that. We all get that. We can spend our time in our lives getting caught up in the things, as Mike Estill says, the stuff of this world. And this stuff is important and has its place, and it has its purpose, just like us. And the Lord will make that known to us. Some have many things, and they utilize it for the betterment of others. So keep that in mind. In Matthew 6:24, we read that man cannot serve both God and mammon. Now, mammon is wealth that, if I can remember this, I didn't write it down. that debases somebody. So it ruins you, it tears you down, it turns you into something you shouldn't be. Okay? Mammon. So it's not necessarily saying that money, having money is bad. If you use it for the kingdom, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom, he who hath eternal life is rich. That's hard for me to sometimes think about when, you know, you're trying to pay the bills. But it's true. And that joy, you feel it. That peace, you feel it. Even when the world seems like it's spinning out of control around you and you're looking around thinking, wow, I should be having a more difficult time. Have you ever had that where you're standing there and you're thinking to yourself, I should be handling this, taking this a lot harder, but you're not. It's that peace that passes all understanding. In the Book of Mormon, Nephi writes about praying. When you pray, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. And pray that your... I better read it. 2 Nephi 14, 11 and 12. Two good scriptures. For if ye would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth a man not to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. So if you have something whispering to you, don't worry about it, you don't have time, it's too late, it's not big enough, it's not of any concern. I know people who've prayed over their vacuum cleaners, and it's worked. So I'm telling you, there's nothing too small. The Lord's interested in everything about your life. It doesn't matter how small, or a contact lens. You know, no matter how small, the Lord is interested. He's not just way up there and he's got too many things to oversee. So what you're doing with your life and this little decision here is insignificant. That's not it. We worship and serve a God who is way bigger than that. He's concerned. He knows every hair on your head. I'm not even that concerned about my hair, you know, he's concerned about all that. So don't be afraid to go with him, go to him about every little thing. But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place, ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee. Consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. So he wants you to pray this. He wants you to pray that whatever you do, whatever task you do, do it for him and ask him to consecrate that to your soul, to your performance of your soul, and for the edification of the people around you. We're familiar with the scripture, "Will a man rob God?" And we know that it follows up with "in tithes and offerings." Well, I believe an offering, it goes way beyond our pocketbooks. Our offerings are our skills and our talents, those things which God's given us to give back. If we take that which God has given us and we use it for our selfish purposes, aren't we robbing God? We're doing it to get gain. We might be really skilled at talking. Does that mean we should become the most crooked lawyer that mankind's ever known? If you could convince an Eskimo to buy a snow cone, you know, it doesn't mean, if you can do that, that means you've got a gift. But don't use the gifts and talents that God's given you for your own benefit, for your own glory and honor. That's robbing God. He gave you those gifts to bring him honor and glory. And when he receives honor and glory, you receive fulfillment. That fulfillment fulfills anything you could ever hope for. That fills the gaps and the voids that the millions can't. Last of all, remember repentance. Remember to go to the Lord in repentant attitude, asking forgiveness. Because if we allow ourselves to go unrepentant, we will find this hardening in our hearts, this hardening in ourselves, in our souls, and that will affect our decisions, that will affect who we are, that will affect every aspect of our lives, of our personal lives, our interaction with our family, our friends, with the Lord. God is a very jealous God. I would encourage each one of you to remember to always have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and remember that when you're in any given moment in time, you are there for a reason, if the Lord puts you there. If you find yourself in a situation that God didn't put you in and that you find yourself in by accident or by mistake, then pray and ask Him to deliver you. He always provides an escape route. It may not be pleasant, but He provides it. Broken heart and contrite spirit, remain humble. If your heart hardens, it will turn you away from God. You won't be able to feel His Spirit, and you'll find yourself turning away from Him. So, I want to congratulate the graduates. A job well done. There's many things left yet for you to do, but hold your head up, because God is your pilot. He is your director. And if you allow Him to direct you, I promise you, and I don't make promises because I never do. Because I feel like promises can be broken. I covenant with you that if you do trust in the Lord with everything, you will not be disappointed in all aspects of your life. And this goes for all of us, right? Me included. I've still got some time left, hopefully. But I would encourage each one of you to remain humble, remain repentant, seek the Lord in all that you do each and every day. And remember, He loves you and He has a purpose for each one. So to the graduates, may you go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, and may He guide your path, is my prayer.
I want to take just a moment this morning It's come to my attention that this is Kathleen's last experience with us in this chamber to worship together with her leading the choir. I don't know how anybody else thinks of this, and I think they're going to have a little extension of this gratitude to her in the next session. But I wanted her to hear the words spoken in this forum where she has labored so many times to bring us the pleasant voice that brings the conveying of the word to a new height to us, because it's in harmony and it brings a ministry that just a spoken word can't bring. I think I haven't been here all the time she has given that service to the body, but I have been here at least for several years now. And I would not be adverse to telling and asking Kathleen to reconsider her resignation. And I don't want to step on anybody's toes in case you've got a replacement. But that's how I wouldn't look with that on that as being something wrong to do. We're just pleased that she has had the opportunity and the health to share with us. She's going to lead the choir one more time as a choral response to the benediction.
May we stand for the benediction. Our Father in heaven, we stand before thee on this beautiful spring day, mindful of the many, many blessings that have been ours. We're thankful indeed, Father, for the good spirit that we have found this morning and that we have found so many times. We're thankful for the early class and for the class that followed, and we're thankful for the admonitions that our brother has shared with us. And thankful indeed for the beautiful music that we have heard in our presence. And as we go from here into the fellowship hall, we ask that you would go with us, that you would bless the food to the strengthening of our bodies and the enlightenment of our minds, and that you might be with us as we leave this place till we meet again, in Jesus' name, for it is in his name we pray. Amen.